This podcast is being recorded on Gadigal land. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this country and elders, past and present. We extend our respects to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people that may have joined us for the podcast today. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Zone of Genius podcast. This is the podcast for business owners who want to leverage their natural strengths so that they can get paid the big bucks. And welcome, welcome. Today is a huge episode because we are celebrating none other than your host, Inez Bai. Should have introduced myself at the start. It was my birthday a week ago. I turned 30, huge milestone, and I'm feeling fucking good about it. I think I have the benefit of being one of the youngest in my friend group. So it feels like I turned 30 6 months earlier than I actually did. But I know that 30 can be such a big milestone, I guess you could say. And it feels like that. It feels like a maturing, and I feel better in my skin than I ever have before. And I really wanted to share the top 10 lessons that I have learned now that I'm 30, impart some of my wisdom onto you, because the last decade has been a bumpy ride, as it would be for anyone. So I'm really excited to share this with you and to just like let you in on how I feel like now turning 30, what my goals and aspirations are, and just generally like the vibe that I'm calling in for. So let's get started on today's episode. All right, let me just pull up my notes here. So I'm 30 now. I'm an Aquarius baby. I turned 30 on the 3rd of Feb. So mark your calendars so you can celebrate my birthday every single year. I posted all about it on social media, so I know that some of you will have seen it. But one of the coolest things before I dive into my lessons is that I was able to throw a party, and I themed it Pride because, of course, being a lesbian and having come out later in life, I just want to celebrate it all the fucking time. One of the coolest things was I was able to throw a party and basically pay for everything. Like, I hired a slushy machine. I bought all of these decorations. I was able to buy drinks and food for everyone and just like really host everyone in a way that I'd never been able to do before. And that was all funded by my business. And I had so many clients reach out to me to say, it's so cool to see you enjoying yourself and like having fun and giving yourself permission to like live your best life whilst also having big goals, whilst also being driven and like really prioritizing your business. And I really am so happy to be the permission slip that you get to enjoy the journey on the way. You know, you don't have to wait until like you've made $1 million or until you've bought a car or bought a house or have a relationship to celebrate yourself and to have fun and enjoy it. And I guarantee you that you will actually get to your goals 10 times faster if you allow yourself to enjoy it and make it enjoyable for yourself. Something I always say to my clients is like, you're going to be successful inevitably. And if you truly believe that, would you stand there white knuckling the journey and holding on so fucking tightly and not letting yourself do anything? Or do you think you're going to get to your goals faster? Because we all know that time flies when you're having fun. If you, yes, do the work, put your head down, get things done, show up for your community, upskill, invest in yourself, all of those kinds of things, but also ensure that it's fun, whether it be booking in a photo shoot or going to the beach or taking a random morning off to go to a sauna and just like treat yourself, that's going to make the journey fun. You're going to get to your success faster and you're going to be more lit up. You're going to be more magnetic. So many people messaged me just because of my birthday and the energy was really there and people were really excited about it. And like, people want to follow people that are doing things. And what's fucking cooler to follow than someone throwing themselves a party and being able to host all of their friends and family over there? So that's just a side note. And I really want to encourage you that if you're someone like my girlfriend who doesn't like celebrating their birthday and doesn't like being the center of attention, have a birthday party, because it is such an incredible way for you to anchor in the moment. Because I gave myself an experience that was really memorable, not only for me of like, this is 30, I'm coming in hot for a new decade, but also for my friends and family, and to really feel like celebrated and have some quality time with them as well. Like, it's really just anchoring in the moment, because otherwise I so easily could have been like, okay, 30, what's next? Let's move on to the next thing, on focusing, moving the goalposts all the time. Whereas that's really me celebrating and making a mark for myself, which is me really being like, cool, I'm ready for the next era of my life. And celebration is such an incredible way to put yourself immediately in the energy of like magnetism, because people want to ride on the coattails of your success. They want to see like, how did you do it? How are you feeling? How are you going? How, like, they want to know that it's an exciting energy to be around, and people want to feed off that. And like, that's your most magnetic energy when you're taking care of yourself. So without further ado, let's get into my 10 biggest lessons now that I'm 30. Number one, and this is such an obvious one, but I feel like I've really embodied it this last year for a variety of reasons that I'm going to talk about. But number one, stop focusing on things you can't control. And bringing in a little bit of stoicism, I've been reading a little bit about stoicism over the last 12 months, especially, of really just being so ruthless at looking at any situation and even your own emotions and thinking about, can I actually control this? And where this really became obvious and apparent to me is over the last like 2 or 3 years, like 2 years ago, I really struggled with insomnia. It was very chronic and very intense, and like had some really dark days with it because it made me incredibly anxious, having intrusive thoughts, just really, really panic attacks all the time, very intense time in my life. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on with me? Like I thought I had experienced anxiety, but it was not to that level where I started to just feel like a shell of a human being. And I was experiencing like derealization, depersonalization, where you're like looking at yourself as if you're in a video game. It's such a fucked feeling. But anyway, and what it really forced me to do was like focus on what I could control. And for those of you that struggle with sleep, you'll really understand this. But if you don't struggle with sleep, you'll be like, what the fuck? This is so weird. And which is why it was even more isolating for me, because everyone in my life was like, just relax, just go to sleep, which is like the most frustrating advice. It's like, yeah, if I could, then I would, right? But I really had to learn that like sleep is a passive thing. It's going to come when it comes. I can't control it. I can't will it on. I can't. Because I'm a very like go-getter, active, just do it kind of person. Like whatever needs to be done, I can easily get it done. My lesson and the work for me is to learn how to like surrender and be patient and just like let go of things. Oh, I've had to let go so much, and I've never been happier now, but like it felt really scary. It genuinely felt like doing a trust fall and just hoping that the universe would catch me. And even though it was really fucked up, everything that I went through with the insomnia and the panic attacks and the anxiety, like it got so bad that I went on anti-anxiety medication, and I just was having the most horrible time within my own head. And like, you cannot escape your own mind, right? Even though that was really, really intense and horrible, I also can reflect on it and see that there was no other way the universe could get me to listen to this lesson of letting go. Because the thing about not being able to sleep is that you can't escape for a moment, because you're not like able to just switch off and be like, oh, I'll just deal with that in the morning. Like it was 24 hours of like a day of my mind just being like absolutely fried. And so it really taught me that I have to let it go, that I have to trust my body, that I have to trust the universe, that I have to just surrender to what is meant to happen. And that might seem really whimsical, but like, for example, with my sleep, it truly, you can't like sit there and go, okay, I'm ready for sleep now. Like you literally just have to lie there and be willing to let it happen in its own time, which was not a skill that I was brought up with and not a skill that is innately part of who I am. So that was a really big lesson that has now transferred into so many areas of life. So for example, if I post something on Instagram, I'm like, okay, cool. Well, and it doesn't go well or it doesn't get engagement, I'm like, okay, cool. Well, what can I control? I can't control how much engagement it gets. So instead I'm going to focus on creating an even better post or servicing my clients or upskilling my skills, whatever it might be. I'm so brutal about focusing on what I can control. And you'll see that being a little bit of a theme as we go through here, but it's a reminder I feel many of us cannot have enough of, because especially like in the society that we've been brought up in, which is like such a masculine, like go after it and make it happen and do it yourself and take responsibility. There is only so much that you can do. And a really good analogy, I've probably already mentioned it in here before, but I, again, repetition is a good thing to have so that it really sinks in. My sleep coach who I worked with during my intense insomnia said to me once that there's only so much that you can do to heal in any aspect or in any kind of scenario. And a really good analogy is, say, for example, you cut yourself. Yes, you can clean the cut. You can put a Band-Aid on it. You can put some like antiseptic cream on it, whatever. But you can't force your body to heal. It's going to take as long as it's going to take. And in fact, if you clean it too much and you put too much cream on it and you're focusing too much on it, you could actually harm the healing process and stop your body from doing what it naturally does. So you've got to have an element of surrender in anything that you do. So that might be in your business as well. Of course, you can, and I see a lot of people doing this when they're wanting to grow their business. They can go a bit too far in terms of the actions that they're taking. So they're like posting a gazillion stories and they're doing all of these free offerings and they're pushing, but it's actually not helping them to move forwards in their business because it's too much. It's too intense that people in their audience can't actually digest it and want to work with them. And it doesn't feel like it's coming from a place of like trust and empowerment, right? But oftentimes people hate existing in that uncertainty period of like, I've done the work, I put in the effort, and now I'm going to let the universe come to me. I'm going to let the clients come to me. I'm going to, with the example of like, I'm going to sow my seeds and I'm going to allow the tree to grow fruit. That takes time. Again, with that example of like, yes, you can water your garden, you can give it some fertilizer, you can make sure it's getting sun, you can get rid of the weeds. But if you're watering it too much and you're giving it too much sun and you're giving it too much fertilizer, that tree is going to fucking die. So the same goes with your business, the same goes with your sleep. Really focusing brutally on what you can control. And if you're interested in this topic, I would recommend reading up on stoicism because that has really helped me in all elements of my life and ensuring that I'm putting energy towards things that are worth my time. So for example, I can't control what someone else is doing on the internet with their coaching business. I can't control what someone says about me. And that was a huge thing that I used to think about all the time. I was like, I'm going to show up in this way, or I'm not going to say this thing so that this person's not offended, or, you know, just trying to manage everyone's views on me and everyone's opinions and trying to prove things to everyone all the time, trying to make sure that people understood me and that I knew what was wrong or right. Like all of these things that is just not a good use of my energy that I could be putting into so many other more fruitful areas of my life. For example, my business, my clients, my skills, my mindset, self-care, pleasure, all of those kinds of things. So that's number one lesson. Number two is that the best revenge is just living your own best life. So oftentimes when we are triggered by someone on social media, and this was definitely something that I got caught up in, where, for example, someone may have copied your content and you're like, oh my God, that's so annoying. Like that was my own creativity and now they've copied it. And it's like, yeah, of course you can say something. And I have done this before where you can like comment on the person and be like, well, that's my piece of content. But also, what is an even better use of your energy? Because you can't control everyone. And also, if you're wanting to be a visionary and you're wanting to really make a change in the world, you're going to have people that copy you. And that's actually a sign that you're doing the right thing because you're being noticed and people are obviously following you and trusting you. Spending your time trying to ensure that no one copies you is just not a good use of time. Instead, what I've learned to do is become so good at my own skill that everyone that tries to copy me, because they're not me and they don't have the same energy and personality infused within their actions, just completely dull in comparison to me. Not because it's a competition, but because everyone would do so much better if they just focus on their own zone of genius and their own skills, aka the name of this podcast, so that I'm not worried about what someone is doing that's similar to me. I'm just so focused on becoming the best version of myself. And you can think about that within any areas, especially within relationships. Again, we can feel really like we have vendettas against certain people of like, oh, this person broke my heart, this person cheated on me, this person was mean to me at high school. And then we start to unknowingly try to prove something to them online by posting a certain thing. Or we go to a school reunion and we're like being all snarky towards them and giving them kind of like a resting bitch face, whatever it might be, because we think that that's going to somehow win this competition, or they're going to like understand what we're doing if we're giving them the cold shoulder. And not only is this pretty juvenile, like it's giving high school, and I understand sometimes when you're reunited with your siblings or high school friends, it can like bring you back to those old toxic patterns that you did before you knew any better. But it just like makes you look immature. And it also just, sometimes people don't even notice. Like people don't even notice that you're doing something to try to impact them, and they are just so caught up in their own life, as is most people, that they don't even notice. And now you're spending all of this time trying to get back at this person. Meanwhile, they're none the wiser, or they're not even impacted by it because of so many other different reasons. So the best thing that you can do for your business, for your mindset, for your relationships is focus on your own growth, focus on living your best life, focus on being the best version of yourself you possibly can be. And not only will that make you more magnetic to the people who are meant to be connected with you in a business sense, relationships, friendships, but it will also push away those people that are toxic and just trying to copy you or want to leech all of your energy like an energy vampire. So that's lesson number two. And then this kind of feeds into lesson number three, which is the spotlight effect. You may have already heard of this, but it's something that, again, I'm constantly reminding myself of, which is the idea that everyone is so focused on themselves that everyone is wondering, does this person notice me? Can this person see that I don't know what I'm doing? Can this person see that I look stupid? Is everyone thinking that my outfit is ugly? Like, we're so focused on ourselves, but everyone is focused on one another. Sorry, everyone is focused on themselves that they're not actually focusing on you. And you can truly use that to your benefit so much. Like, sometimes I post the most ludicrous things on Instagram now because I'm like, no one really cares that much because everyone's so focused on themselves. And it can be incredibly liberating, especially on social media, to just like share what you want to share. And of course, sometimes you might get hate, but for me, the way that I've really reframed hate is that I'm getting noticed. And so thank you for the engagement. Next, keep it coming, whatever. But just reminding yourself, whether it be like you're feeling vulnerable because you shared something on social media or you had a conversation with someone and you said something that you feel like didn't go in the right way, or, you know, you're just feeling cringy because you posted a dance of yourself. Everyone is focused more on themselves than on you. And you are going to remember your own actions way more than everyone else. And so when you realize that and you anchor into that, it is so liberating because you're not constantly trying to manage everyone's expectations of you. And it doesn't really matter what you do anyway. And I feel like at 30, I'm really anchored into that. And that was something I really struggled with in the earlier stages of my life. Like when I was in my early 20s, I remember going to the gym and just thinking, oh my God, everyone's judging me. I don't know what I'm doing. I look stupid. But it's like everyone's just focused on their own lifting and their own gym equipment and their own muscles. Like no one really cares what you are doing. And the way that I flip this even further is like, give them a reason to care about what you're doing. Like be out there, be cringy, be yourself, because you have to do that in order to gather an audience and therefore make a difference. So yeah, that's number three. Okay, number four is a big fucking one. And it's very easy to hear this and not fully let it simmer and integrate within you, because I was this person that would have been like, oh yeah, I do this, that's fine. So I want you to really try to like investigate this next phrase within yourself and how you feel about it. And number four is intellectualizing your emotions will keep you stuck / will keep you sick, whereas feeling them will set you free. And again, this is really informed by my insomnia recovery journey, where I definitely used to think that I was feeling my emotions because I was highly self-aware. I was always like analyzing my emotions and thinking about why I felt that way and finding reasons for it. And I thought that that was feeling my emotions. I thought that figuring out why I was feeling certain things or analyzing them or getting a reason as to like where my emotions were coming from and thinking that I was figuring out the answer was feeling my emotions, until I realized that all I was doing was intellectualizing my emotions. So I was finding reasons justifying, oh, this is why you feel this way, and this is why you feel this way. And I was constantly stuck in this spiral in my head of thinking about why, of giving reasons, of finding the logic, of explaining the root, all this kind of stuff, that I never actually got below my head. I was so stuck in my mind around my feelings. And this was so obvious to me when I was going through my insomnia recovery, because what I really had to work on with my sleep coach at the time was, again, acknowledging where those feelings were in my body. And this was so like disorientating for me, because I was like, I'm a life coach. I'm self-aware. I know what I'm talking about. I know how to handle emotions, but I really wasn't. And because I was so used to intellectualizing my emotions, thinking that that was feeling them, I didn't know, like I built up this fear in my head, or this like a self-limiting belief that if I was feeling bad, then I hadn't hadn't understood the emotion. And so I was quite scared to feel anxiety, because I thought then that was meant something was wrong with me. But what I really had to retrain myself was to like feel that emotion and be okay with it sitting there. And I feel like a lot of us get caught in this trap when we're in personal development, we're in the coaching world or in the self-awareness field. We're like, oh, I need to understand where this is coming from. And whilst that can be beneficial to to an extent, we also need to like be okay and comfortable with feeling the full spectrum of emotions. And we really want to get to, and this is how I explained it to one of my mastermind clients the other day, we really want to get to a place where we can feel anxiety or sadness or anger in the same way that we feel hunger, for example, or in the same way that we feel joy, where it's just like, oh, there's an emotion and there I can feel it again. And what really surprised me when I started to feel my emotions and I was like allowing anxiety to be there and starting to put all of the emotions and feelings on the same playing field, rather than thinking I've only got to be happy or I've got to be content or I've got to be peaceful. And if I'm anything else, then there must be something wrong with me. Like, even if I was tired, I would think that I was doing something wrong and I'd be like, what's happening to me? Where's this coming from? I need to change things. But like, babe, sometimes you just need to feel you're tired and not demonize it and find some sort of deeper meaning to it. So I really started working with my body and placing my hand on my chest or my stomach, wherever I was feeling that feeling, and just like fully allowing it to be there, even though it felt so uncomfortable. But then I started to lower my guard around certain emotions, and it made me feel so much safer to be in my body rather than constantly using analysis of my emotions as a protection mechanism that would keep me in a safe distance, in a way, away from the actual emotion. So really focusing on like feeling your emotions, not trying to explain them, not trying to justify them, not trying to always find the deeper root. Sometimes it's just about feeling them and literally just putting your hand on your chest and breathing into that space and not doing anything about it. Or, you know, if you're feeling angry, scream, punch a pillow. There doesn't have to be a reason about it. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person just because you feel angry. It means that you're a human. And the goal of self-development, the goal of personal development, mindset work, shadow work, is not to suddenly become content and happy all the time. It's to learn how to manage your emotions and not be feeling scared or feel bad when you feel certain things. So that is number four. Five is focus on the evidence. I used to have such a crippling fear that my business was going to fail, that everything was going to go wrong, that, you know, everyone would judge me and how embarrassing for me. And I did so much work with my therapist to get to a place where I was, again, comfortable with the fear of failure. So this kind of relates to what I was just talking about, like even feeling safe with like failing and building up that self-trust to such a robust level that you're like, it's fine. Whatever happens, I'm going to be able to handle it. Like, it's not that you're like willing failure on or you want to experience anxiety, but it's more knowing that if you do experience it, you're okay. You're not going to beat yourself up. Nothing bad is going to happen. You know that you can handle it. And my God, does that make you so invincible in business and life? But when I say focus on the evidence, when I had this deep fear of like my business failing and how embarrassing was going to be and what the fuck was I going to do, I really had to look at the evidence of what had already happened in the past to see if that was actually very likely. Now, of course, nothing is impossible, but when I looked at the evidence of the past within my own business, it was like there was so much more evidence to prove that I was going to make it work and that I was going to grow a successful business and that I was going to continue to make money and sign clients compared to like the one or two launches that I had done that didn't work, or I didn't sign on any clients, or a month that I had had where I'd had a lower cash month. Like, whilst of course there are going to be evidence that you can draw on in your past where things didn't go to plan or you did fail or you were embarrassed or you did get rejected, there's also going to be most likely more evidence to prove that you are resourceful, that you are resilient and successful and things do actually go to plan. It's just a matter of you actually focusing on that evidence instead of allowing your ego to come and play forefront of the stage and be like, everything's going to fail, everything's going to go badly. Remember that one time 3 years ago where you got rejected? Well, guess what? That's going to happen again. Why wouldn't it? Because when you're focused on that and you start to blow it out of proportion and do everything you can to avoid it, which then that's going to lead into you recreating that scenario because your subconscious mind is always looking for proof of what it believes. So instead you want to be focusing on the actual evidence, which is 95% of the time, even 75% of the time, things go pretty fucking well for you. And the times that you have failed, there's always been a lesson in it. There's always been a bit of sweet realization within it, and you cannot go through life without failing, and you're definitely not earning enough money and making a big enough impact if you haven't experienced any failure. So it's not about avoiding failure, it's about becoming okay with it and building up that level of self-trust to be like, if that happens, I got it, I'm going to figure it out. A version of me is going to emerge that I haven't even met yet to be able to handle that failure in a way that I can't even comprehend now, nor do I need to be able to comprehend it. And also looking at the evidence. Okay, this has worked well in the past. This is what's happened in my history. Like, build up so much evidence for yourself that you are okay, that you are resourceful, that you are successful. Remind yourself of the results that you have created for your clients. Remind yourself of the results that you have created for yourself in the past. Remind yourself of all of the things that are in your life right now that at one point felt like they were never going to happen or felt like they were impossible to get that are now in your reality. And notice that that is all evidence, and focus on that and act from that place. And that is the thing that's going to expedite your results a million times faster when you act from that energy of like, yeah, I do have proof that things are going to work out for me. So why the fuck shouldn't it be you? Okay. Number six is the let them theory. So I actually used to say this to my girlfriend all the time of like, whenever, like, I remember I would bump into people, and especially when I was first coming out and it was just after the lockdown pandemic, whatever, I'd like bump into all of these people and they'd be like, how's your boyfriend? And I used to feel so embarrassed by coming out and having to correct them. Like, I felt guilty that they would feel bad, and I felt weird about telling people that I had a girlfriend, and all it brought up all of this shit for me. So eventually I got to this place where I was like, you know what? Let them think that I'm weird. Let them feel bad. Let them judge me for coming out. Let them judge me for whatever. Not that anyone really cares, because remember number three, the spotlight effect. But I really just had to be like, if I have a weird interaction, or if I post something on social media and I'm worried about people's response to that, again, coming back to focusing on things that are in your control, let people think that I'm weird. What a fucking power move. Let them judge me for posting on social media. Let them think that I was awkward in that interaction. Like, because you can't control it anyway. So recall back your power and allow them to think in that way. And if that's how they want to think about it, then so be it. You can't do anything about it anyway, nor is it a good use of your energy to try and prove them wrong. And I remember saying this to my girlfriend, and then I was scrolling on TikTok, and I saw that Mel Robbins has a let them theory. And I was like, whoa, I had never seen it before, because I remember I just like come to this realization. I was like, you know what? To my girlfriend, Georgie, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let them think that I'm weird. And my girlfriend at the time was like, wow, that takes some serious balls, because, you know, to just be like, let them think that I'm awkward, that's a power move, but it takes some serious confidence to say that. And then I saw that Mel Robbins has a theory on that. So I'll give her some credit, but also let it be known that I thought of it first. Okay. And I recommend that you use that the next time you post something on social media that's a bit edgy. Let them think I'm weird. Let them think I'm wild. Honestly, that's part of being an entrepreneur. Number seven, your actions are massively affected by the conversations you're having and the people that you are surrounded by. If you are talking to only people that exist within corporate jobs, or you're mainly having conversations with your boomer parents around your business, you are massively capping yourself, and basically you may as well be building a glass ceiling for yourself. Because if you're talking to people that are not where you want to be, your ideas of what your vision should be for your business are going to be so much smaller and existing within their safety net of what feels natural and normal for them, instead of when you talk to people that have already walked in the path that you desire to go down. That is what's going to expand your ideas and your ideas of what you want for your business and your life, how much money you want to make, the impact that you desire to make. And then that's going to massively reflect in the actions that you take. Like, you cannot underestimate the people that you are surrounded by, because if you're only talking to people that are mainly in corporate, for example, their ideas around money and income and sales and all that kind of stuff are very structured and limited, and they're following by a certain set of very bureaucratic rules that entrepreneurs do not have to follow. But if that's the main people that you're engaging with on a day-to-day basis, like, for example, all of my school friends, there's a group of eight of us that still catch up, which is incredible. But like, I'm not going to go to them to talk about business ideas. And even within my own family, my parents and my sister are a little bit more traditional in the sense that they're like, buy a house and, you know, save up your money and work a job. And my parents have both stayed in their jobs for like years and years and years. And they're all about that very like boomer energy of being loyal and, you know, gaining respect in that way, which is definitely changing in this generation. But like, for example, I'm not interested in buying a house right now. It's not an investment that I desire to make at this current phase in my business and in my life. It's not a priority for me. But I could have let that influence from my family really change the desires that and the priorities that I have for my business? Did I not actively put myself in the rooms of other people that have similar missions as me with my business and help me understand why I feel that way? Because now when my dad asked me, for example, why aren't you buying a house? I know how to respond to him. I know the intention behind it. I don't have to cower down to get his approval anymore, because I can say with my full chest, this is why I do what I do. This is why investing in my business is a priority. And again, I would not have that confidence or that deeper understanding of where I was going, what I was doing, and the vision that I have for my business. Was I just talking to my school friends? Was I just talking to my family? So it cannot be understated the impact that the community has. And, you know, even like if you think about going to a gym class versus working out yourself, when you go to a gym class and everyone's lifting heavy weights and everyone's running really fast on the treadmill, you bet your bottom dollar you're going to be lifting heavier and running faster and holding the plank for a longer time than if you were just doing it by yourself. It's so much easier to give up on your by yourself. And humans are meant to be in packs and in community. They're meant to lean on one another for support. So you always do better with external accountability and support. Why wouldn't you be giving that to yourself? And if you don't give that to yourself, you're going to be competing with everyone in the industry who is getting support and is expediting their results in that way. So it just makes sense. Okay, moving on to number 8. And this is, life is unfair. I'm sorry to break it to you, but sadly, there is no worldwide global justice system. Shitty things happen to good people all the time. Like, people get sick that really don't deserve it. People get into car crashes from drunk drivers for no reason. People have mental health issues for really no reason. And you will drive yourself fucking insane if you try to find a reason as to like why this happens, or like, I thought I was a good person. Why does my launch not work out? Or like, my content's really good. Like, why is no one liking it? Sometimes you just have to let go to the idea that life is unfair. And that is really, really hard to reckon with. But it's also important that we recognize this instead of making it mean something about us. And thinking that this bad thing happened, or this launch didn't go well, or this video didn't go viral because I am a bad person, that is existing in a really victim mentality. And it's also giving away your power and being like, well, I'm a bad person. Why would I even bother taking action on my dreams? Instead of thinking, you know what? Sometimes it is unfair. Sometimes things don't work out. Sometimes relationships do suck. Sometimes I do get sick. Sometimes I do lose my voice. Just like I lost my voice last week, if you were following me on social media. And I was like, this is so fucking unfair. And I was angry. And yes, I could blame myself, but in reality, like, there's no real reason as to why I have vocal cord issues and the next person doesn't. It's just unfair. And this is not to kind of throw our hands up and just be like, this is unfair, I can't do anything about it. Rather, to not blame yourself and make it mean that you are a bad person. Instead, being like, that situation or that action or this result was not ideal, but I'm still a good person and I've still got value to offer. So therefore, what can I do moving forwards from this? Like, just knowing that sometimes and not feeling like I need to be on a crusade of like, this isn't fair or this isn't just, or why is this happening, or blah, blah, blah. You know, even like, shitty coaches get good clients. That's fucking unfair, but it's also not your job to prove to those clients as to why that person is a bad coach. And instead, what you can focus on is being the very best coach that you possibly can be, so that they can notice you and come and work with you. And that's a way that you can make a much better influence than going on your social media and blasting out this other coach, because now you're being the shitty coach and contributing to that kind of toxic energy of call out culture. So number 8, life is unfair. Get used to it and move on. Number 9, business and money will always be non-linear. So your savings are always going to go up and down. Sometimes you're going to drain your bank account because you want to make an investment. And again, you don't have to make that mean something negative about you. Business is very cyclical. It's very up and down. You're going to have months where it just feels like in flow, everything's working, clients are signing up, there's no disgruntled customers or arguments or anything like that. It's just fucking working, content's pouring out of you. And that feels great. But sometimes business is going to feel really sticky, like you're wading through mud and you're just in an ebb. And again, sometimes it doesn't actually mean that anything is wrong. Of course, you can look at your systems and get feedback from your client and do an audit of your content and your business. Maybe you need to hire someone. Maybe you need to get a new service.
whatever it might be, maybe invest in a new coach or a new program. Yes, of course. But sometimes you can be doing all of the right things and it's just going to be a little bit slower. And it's the way that you choose to show up in those moments that will make all of the difference within your business. Because imagine if I gave up just because 1 month was a little bit slower, even though, you know, oh, I'm posting all this content and I'm putting in so much work. It's like, yeah. But if you keep doing that for the next 2 to 5 years, you're going to have a successful business. Like, there is just no other choice. But if you get frustrated every time things feel a little bit slower, or every time you get a result that is different to what you expected, you're going to drive yourself crazy and you're not going to take the actions required to create an extraordinary business and an incredible life for yourself. You have that desire within you for a reason. So it's like, who you are in those moments that feel low or that feel like it's not working will seriously determine your ability to be successful. And so really focusing on, like, what do I need in those moments where I've, you know, invested all of my money, or I had to pay a bigger tax bill, or business feels slow and none of my content's getting any reach? Because that's something every single business owner experiences across the board, no matter what level they are at. There are always going to be slower months and lower months in their business. What do you need in those moments to keep you moving forwards? And for me, what I've identified is having a really clear vision for where I want to be in 5 years from now that feels really exciting, keeps me going, so that even in the times when I'm like, things are lower or they're slower or it's not going as easily as it normally does, I'm like, cool, I'm going to focus on thinking about what I would do a TED talk on. I'm going to focus on booking in a photo shoot because I've got more time. I really have this vision for, like, the person that I want to become in the next 5 years. So I don't get really caught up about it if 1 month is slower. And I really recommend building that out for yourself, so you have a North Star to go towards no matter what your business is doing in that day or how it's feeling in that week or whatever it might be. Okay, number 10. Growth feels uncomfortable. And I know we hear this all the time, but again, this is one of those things that I really don't want you to just listen to and let it roll off and be like, yeah, of course. Because even I was having this conversation with one of my clients who has been hitting, like, consistent 5 to 10K months. And just recently she's, like, wanting to scale, bringing in more clients, and she's finding herself falling back into these old patterns, which is always going to happen when you're wanting to grow. So even within my own journey, I'm making consistent 20K months and I feel like I've been plateauing at that for a little while. I mean, obviously January we brought in 45K in sales. So that wasn't in cash, that's in sales for the year, which is good, but I'm, like, ready for another quantum leap. So I'm looking at, where am I getting complacent and what's stopping me from getting to the next level? And what feels uncomfortable about that level of growth is the feeling like I'm going to have more pressure and responsibility on me, and wanting to avoid that by not bringing on more clients. And even though, you know, logically I'm like, fuck yeah, more clients, so exciting, can't wait. And you probably feel like that with, like, your next income milestone. There's probably also some part of you that feels resistant to it, or there's a fear bubbling beneath the surface that's holding you back from stepping into that next level version of your business and your life. Otherwise you would already have it. So this requires a level of radical honesty and responsibility to be like, what am I potentially nervous about? Because that is growth. And growth is something that you haven't experienced before. So it's going to feel foreign. And it's very natural for our puny little human brains to avoid growth because it is unknown to us and it's not as predictable. And so if you're feeling a little bit like, what the fuck am I doing? Then you're probably about to experience a massive piece of growth. And there you have it, my 10 lessons that I have learned now that I'm 30. What did you think? Let me know. I'm really curious to hear your feedback as always. And what I'm really, like, calling in and noticing with this energy is, you always hear this, but I just wanted to confirm and let you know that your 30s are a time where you just know yourself more. And I feel like with age, most of the time, although I will say I've definitely met, like, middle-aged people who lack self-awareness completely. So obviously the cool thing about being a coach and being in this industry is that you're rewarded for becoming more self-aware and learning, like, doing your own education as well. So that's really cool. But what I'm really calling in for this new century is just, like, really allowing myself to step into the limelight even more and not being afraid to claim what I want and being really unapologetic with, like, the vision I have for my life and business. A lot of my 20s was letting go of other people's opinions, getting really caught up with what I should be doing, not being really clear on, like, my own voice.
And I feel now in my 30s, I have come to a place where I'm able to hold a lot of people's like projections and thoughts and feelings, and, you know, also hold relationships that might not be the most aligned relationships. Like, for example, some people in my family, but I can hold it because I still value their relationship. I don't just need to cut them off because they don't 100% get what I'm doing, but I also don't need people to get what I'm doing. I also don't need to prove to everyone that I'm smart or that I'm this or whatever, you know, or that I'm right. That's also been a big thing because I'm often have quite a fear of being dismissed or being like not having my voice being heard. And so that's a lot of the healing that I've been working on over the last couple of years. And I would say a big piece of my Saturn return for my astrology babes was the insomnia piece of like really having a dark night of the soul, really struggling with in that period of my life. And now that I'm 30, I just feel really excited to have this new level of understanding. So I'm just like really excited to take my business to the whole next level, not being complacent with what is good and instead pushing myself to growth that is fucking extraordinary. And I'm so happy to take you all along for the ride. I cannot wait to just like be fully expanding the vision of the Zone of Genius message worldwide. I'm gonna be running so many different offers. I wanna be hosting retreats. I wanna be asked to be talking on panels. I want to be doing more cool stuff with my content, like taking it to the next level. And I'm willing to invest in that. And that's something I've also been talking a lot with my clients too, because they are sometimes like, oh, you know, I can just record it at home, or like, I'll just get my partner to take photos of me or whatever. And like, yeah, you can do that. But for me, I'm wanting to put in that extra effort with my content, with my photos, with my brand, with my podcast, because I'm really passionate about building a community online and offline as well. And so if that means like hiring a videographer, or I've just recently rehired my VA so that I have more time to spend on the tasks in the business that are actually like putting into the vision of me looking towards the future and thinking about where I want to take the business. Like, yes, of course, I think, and this is what keeps a lot of people stuck at like that 10 to 20K level per month in their business, is like, yeah, I can do that and it's not hurting me, so why don't I continue to do it? But it's like, is it the best use of your energy? And is it allowing you to show up in your full visionary archetype of like thinking about how you're going to expand the business, expand the message? And for me, it's not just about growing the business, but I'm really, really committed and really passionate about spreading the message and building a community as well. And so I want to make sure that I have the space and time to dedicate towards that as well. Okay, if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to me if you left a rating and review, or if you gave me some feedback, share it to your stories, share it to a friend that you think could use this if they're coming up to their 30s and they're freaking out. Like, this is our fucking decade and I'm so excited for what's to come. Like, it feels like I'm in such a cool era of my life where I don't have that many responsibilities. I've got a lot of freedom. I have a business that just lights my soul on fire, and I just feel incredibly lucky to be here. It's not without a lot of hard work, that goes without saying, but the better it gets, the better it gets. Okay, bye.